Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Welcome back. Mason, it's been a while. It's been a tough month, but we're here and my phone's vibrating and we've got about 15 or so games of Habs content to catch up on.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. You know, I think the Habs have kind of progressed along where we were saying we wanted them to last time we were talking. Some players that, you know, we made some predictions for, I think they've certainly lived up to them. And like, especially our young guys, Slav, Suzuki, Caulfield. So it's, it's honestly, it's been a very good 15 game stretch for the Habs.
Especially for Slav and Suzuki. Caulfield's getting up there too. I think he's about 3 points shy from 60 points. And I know it's not the season goal-wise that everyone predicted. And I see a lot of backlash towards that still. But I think a solid 60-point season, his real first showcase season, I think this is still, like, integrally a fantastic season, even though we can tell something with the shoulder is still bothering him. But I think still in all, he's had a fantastic year, and I think people are being too critical of him. I know what we saw the previous year, but, I mean, dude, how can you be upset with 60?
No, exactly.
I think people are just nitpicking at this point. It'll be his first full season, and he's going to give us guaranteed over 60 points. Let me jinx it now. But you know what I figured out, Mason, about Cole Caulfield? I'll never draft him again. Because every time I dropped him, he went off. And so what I promise to him, the fan base, myself, to the podcast, I will never draft him again because I just want what's best for him. And if I'm in any way a jinx in that, I will remove myself from it.
No, I think, look, it's been a tough year for Caulfield. Clearly that shoulder surgery and the rehab is going to take longer than initially suspected. I think that, you know, we all had high hopes. We said he was going to score 40, but things obviously didn't look that way. It didn't even look like he had a shot at 30 until very recently, and now it looks like a real possibility. I think he needs, does he have 26 right now?
He has 24. He needs six. So it's a
Okay.
little
Yeah,
tough. I'm going
so
to
it would be a
say
little tough,
28.
but you know, he has an outside shot at it, and that's saying a lot considering I think for players with over 200 shots, he has by far and away the lowest shooting percentage. Like I said, clearly that shoulder surgery affected him. And it's nice to see that he can take steps as a player even without scoring goals. He's gonna still get 60 points while being under 30 goals. He's really improved as a playmaker, and even though he wasn't goal scoring a lot, he was still making an impact, right? And that is something we haven't seen in Cole Caulfield too consistently. Whereas this season, we still saw that when he wasn't scoring, he was able to make meaningful contributions, even on the power play as a kind of a decoy, as a threat, and then as a passer. So I do not think that, while I think this season might be disappointing for Cole Caulfield and for fans alike in terms of his goal scoring, I do not think in any sense of the word that is a wasted season at all. He is absolutely developed as a player, as a playmaker, and that will only help him in the future get more scoring opportunities. If he's also a threat to pass, then it opens up a lot of things for him.
I agree. To add to that, I also feel he had really stepped it up on the defensive side of things, and just the lay of the game in itself. And I feel like if we lost a bit of his spectacularness, but gained a bit of a better overall player, I'm very, very comfortable with that. Like, yes, we want the showmanship. Well, not the showmanship, but we want like
We
what we were
want goals.
predicting. We want
Everyone wants
goals.
goals,
Every
right? Goals
That's
are
true.
fun.
Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what we want. But if we gained a guy that can still give us a solid amount of goals, but can really elevate the offense and be there defensively, I can't be upset with a young guy of his stature putting it down like that. Played the body a couple of times the other night. I think he hit someone. He like delivered a sick hit on someone on Philly, I believe it was, a couple games back. He's just been great. I think that just like how we say Nick Suzuki deserves like the previous years where everyone was getting sick and it was just like Nick Suzuki can do it with anybody. I feel like Cole Caulfield has proven that he can do, I wouldn't say every position, but if what we expected of him was goals and he can't give us that right now, he can give us a full game and it's been exceptional.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that I might disagree in saying I don't think Cole Caulfield's lost his flair. I still think that he is able to perform some pretty magnificent stuff with the puck on his stick. And I really do believe that Caulfield coming back next year, especially with the return of Doc, is going to be a threat for 40. Like 30 will be in the bag next year.
And I think that's, I think.
I think him not getting 30 this year just puts a lot of pressure on him for next season, but I think it's pressure that he will succeed in.
I think he's got that level of confidence. I kind of feel the other way. I feel like, I just think there's so many people hard on him because we don't have that elite goal scorer and everyone has said it's been him. He showed promise of it. And we've developed an expectation for it. And I just think it's so harsh for everyone to not look at what he gave us this season. And if it's anything like this next season, that's still fantastic. He still panned out. We got him at 15. I think everyone's just losing their fucking minds for nothing. We have so much coming up that Cole Caulfield is still like a fantastic
Well,
player. And I
and
know that's not what people, like we're not saying that he's not, but
I think a big thing to consider too is that I am really sort of a advocate for maybe next season. It would be interesting if we could see some Suzuki Slav, Kirby Doc Caulfield type lines. I think Slav and Suzuki have actually shown more chemistry than Caulfield and Suzuki ever have. That backhand pass, like
Oh,
no
last night? Yeah,
backhanded
fantastic.
pass that Slav fed Suzuki the other night against the Rangers was incredible. And that's the kind of plays you want from your top players together, right? And I really have always felt like Caulfield and Doc have had more chemistry than him and Suzuki. And if Slav has that chemistry with Suzuki, I think it would not only free, I think it would free up everybody for more offensive success. As of right now, you can put one line on to blanket the Habs, and that top, all our top players on offense are covered. The addition of Kirby Doc, you know, he's, I think we forget about him a lot. It will change this team drastically. They will be a much better team, not just because of Doc, but because of how much, if Doc's performing and playing well, then it opens things up for the other line. It makes us have two lines that are legitimate threats. Not that I don't think that Newhook line hasn't been great. They've been doing well, but they're not a line you game plan against. If we can have two lines that are legitimate threats, the way this that Slaf and Suzuki and Caulfield have been, then I think it gets more opportunities for Caulfield. It creates more opportunities for Suzuki. It creates more opportunities for Slaf. It creates opportunities for Doc. It opens up everything. And I think that in and of itself will be what makes Caulfield even just getting 30 so much more likely next year.
No, I agree. That was what was on my mind when you brought it up, was the fact that Caulfield would no longer have to, I'm not gonna say have to pass it around, but it's like now we're setting him back up for like being the trigger man on a line. And it's been tough seeing him go through the rut. I feel like his shot from the dot has gone cold, but all of his shots as of late have been, well, not all of, I'm not shots. His goals have had, as of late, Jesus, have been like wraparounds or like really close in that, like really like finesse style goals where I just feel like when they just send it to him, it's just not working. Hopefully
Because it's
though,
expected, right?
it's expected, absolutely.
But it's also been why, and people are forgetting this. Yes, Caulfield might not be scoring, but Suzuki has 33 this year because, and a lot of them on the power play, because it opens up when they're
Other
not,
guys, yeah.
right? Like, Suzuki does not have 33 goals right now if Caulfield isn't also a three, if pe teams aren't cheating Caulfield on the power play, right? And I think that's something people are forgetting. They're not considering. Like
No,
Caulfield
absolutely.
is a presence that teams absolutely are worried about.
And that's what's kind of frustrating as like a fan of Caulfield and why Kirby Doc coming back and giving them a line together would be great, is because it's like, you know, he's going to get shadowed. So, you know, Cole Caulfield is in an essence being wasted because the team isn't, they don't have a good system to make it to where it doesn't matter when Cole Caulfield gets it. They've got him and he can just unload. Now it's, we play such a very, figure outable, scheme. That it's just all it is for him is it's to pull off of someone else and then Slav takes it or Nick takes it. And it would be great to see, to get him an opportunity where it is on him. And he's not blanketed by the best players on the, well, the best protectors on the other team.
No, I agree.
Fair point. Let's see. Well, what about Joel Armia? We talked about that line for a second. I do like what you said. Second line is doing really good, but right now, that team just screams like third line, like shutdown, good shutdown line that's gonna like.
Armia's most, you know, successful for a team on their third line. Absolutely. But I do think it's important to recognize what Joel Armia has done here. I think it's a little frustrating, even though it is awesome, because
Where was this?
his issues have always been a lack of effort, right? When he chooses to dominate a game, he can. And I know it sounds stupid to say that about a guy I just said is best on the third line. Third liners don't dominate games, but sometimes Armia can. And I think that is what is so frustrating about a player like him. But, Armia got a big wake-up call this season. We have young guys coming, pushing for jobs. Armia got sent to the AHL twice this season. Both times had to work his ass off to get back. And what you're seeing now is a guy that's motivated. He's got something to work for. And does it suck that maybe that's what it took to get Armia to care? Sucks a little bit. Yeah. The point is he cares now and the team is benefiting from that.
I
I don't
do.
think it'd be crazy to say that if Armia continues to play this way, the Habs have a very, very awesome trading piece next season, right?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's been great to see Armia performing like this. It sucks that he couldn't have done this before the trade deadline. Habs could
Yeah.
have got something,
Yeah,
but he has
absolutely.
another year left on his deal. And if he's able to keep this up, the Habs absolutely have a valuable asset that they can dish next season, maybe even in the offseason to a contender and continue to stockpile those assets because I don't really think that there's a future for Armia on this team going in the future beyond next season. However, next season, if he comes in with this attitude again and puts up good numbers, Armia could earn himself a shot at a cup and a nice new contract. So I do this has been a big positive, I think, in the last 15 games or so, is that it kind of felt like the Habs had traded all their veteran assets. Outside of Mike Matheson, it didn't seem like they had a lot, that they could really ship apart
Yeah.
from Savard and Matheson. But Armia continuing to perform means that they do have some flexibility, and maybe we can see some more deals where guys get let go. And I think it's great for the player, and it's great for the organization as well.
Absolutely. I do want to add that on the broadcast a couple of nights ago when they did highlight Yoel Armia, they said he had sought the help of a sports psychologist,
I did see
and
that, yes.
that is sick. That's really awesome. It's something that's not talked about enough, but basically they got him on the game plan of like letting the previous game's issues slip past and focusing on the now, and it clearly broke through for him because he's playing great. He's playing like playoff Armia. Like
Play
just
up our
he's just there. Like he's there in the moment every game. He's playing like a full 200-foot game. And in most nights when we're struggling, he's still got the legs. It's crazy. I think you're absolutely right into thinking like it's kind of a shame that it took this to get him to just like awaken. But good on him, dude. He's got an opportunity. He's got one more year. I don't see us moving him in the offseason. I wish this would have happened a little earlier, but I still think he can bring this into next season. And if he does, he's got an opportunity to get moved to a chance to fucking win like Lehkonen. It just takes a good run at the right time to really get yourself noticed. He's showing it right now. If he shows it even just a little bit next year, people know that he's a great third liner. He's a great depth guy, and you're gonna get him for cheap. And we're gonna exploit the fuck out of that.
Absolutely.
I mean, if it's not Josh Anderson or David Savard, hell yeah. Yoel Armia coming back to prove that he's got it.
No, I agree. I think that, yeah, like I said, I think it is unfortunate that this is what it took, but I think it's great that he is performing well, and he is a very
He's
like
been fun to watch.
when he's playing well, he's a very effective player. No doubt about it. Like he can really put it on. So hopefully this is something that can work out for not just the player but also the team. And yeah, like I said, like I don't see much of a future for Armia with the Habs outside of next season, but I absolutely think that he can he can contribute something in the way of trade value.
If he wants to quiet life and he wants to stick around, I can see it. I doubt it, you know, but I think there's no team out there that's like gonna look past Yoel Armia without at least looking into him. I think he's developed that for himself this season, is that he's worth at least a look. And a team that's got it and that just needs some depth, what a fucking grab. What a grab. So happy for him. Let's see. Before we move on, we do have an ad read from our buddies over at DraftKings. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. I'm supposed to read you some cool games. Let's talk about tomorrow or today as you guys are listening. Canadians are going to play the Flyers. Sure, that's going to be a fucking awesome game. We're plus 114. Do with that as you will. Rangers Islanders should be interesting. I think the Rangers are going to take it. They've been walking on everybody. We would love the Leafs to lose, especially after winning a close game this evening against the Penguins. Boston Carolina, you know, honestly interesting. Wouldn't put any money on it though. I think that's going to be a nail biter. Anyway, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after insurance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsibility. Gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright in NHL 2024. All rights reserved. How are you? We're back, dude. That was a sick ad read. Yeah, Mason. So, last two games, we've seen Caden Gooley leave the team, and that's unfortunate. And then we saw right before, well, the morning before the Toronto game, we saw Arbor Jacki also get the out notice.
Yeah, I'm happy though because
They need
it's
their rest. They don't need
reports
to be
that
playing
they,
anymore.
well, apparently they would be playing through it. Surface noise, just computer was dying there. But I like that the team is being careful.
As they should. There's no need for this. They don't. We got eliminated from the playoffs, what, this morning or yesterday? That's fine. These guys played a fantastic year. If they come back and play a couple of games at the very end, sure. That's what, six games away? Whatever. If they do, cool. If they don't, awesome. 70 games for Caden Gooley, 22 points in the season, if that's it for him. Arbor Jacki, 44 games, 10 points. What a season for him. Shut it down. You know why? Why hurt them?
Yeah, we don't need
We don't
to
need you this year. Well,
be doing
let me
this to our
rephrase that.
team.
Let me rephrase that because that didn't come out right. They did it. You know, they've reached the end. Good for them. They need to get rested for next year because we're only amping up. We're only getting better. This team has had its shittiest season, and I'm gonna fucking state that. I'm gonna knock on everything. A lot of wood in here. I don't see us being worse. I think let them rest, get them ready for next year, because this team's gonna make the next fucking move in our progression. So. Which I would have liked at least an update. I don't know how your fantasy went, Mason. But last week was our championship week.
I ended on a skid.
A skid, no shit.
It
That's
was a little
tough.
tough. Yeah, like the top three or four finishers in my league are all out of the playoffs.
No shit.
Yeah, it's like up in the
Miracle
air.
season for everybody, huh?
Yeah. Very unfortunate.
Heard that. That was me last year. Anyway. So, I won my league. Sorry.
You won.
Yeah, I won. I kicked the shit out of Brandon. But I think it was Friday night. The Vegas Golden Knights didn't play anymore. I needed some guys. I had Eichel, I had Marchessault, and then I had Theodore. And Theodore was mainly hurt all season, and I just activated him. And I was like, I really don't want three guys on the team, but these three guys happen to just be lights out, so I'm gonna take a gamble. It worked. But my last 2 days, I needed those spots. I moved some shit around. I didn't know the levity of Caden Gooley. I believe that game happened when it was our anniversary dinner, so I didn't see that one. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna pick up Arbor Jacki. It's 8 in the morning. Pick up Arbor Jacki, be good. And I shuffled some other shit around. Like I got rid of I think Joseph Woll early in the week and brought in someone dropped Jonathan Quick. Idiot.
Damn.
Yeah, right. So I was running with Shesterkin. I was a little tough. Went four goalies this year at some point because I was just like, ah, it's a monopoly. So I had Shesterkin, Quick, Otter, and ended it with Montembeau. But anyway, Arbor Jacki ends up going out, and I wasted one of my final picks on it. But it went from a close night to just a runaway with it Saturday night. So I was a little terrified because like I just wasted one of my moves on Arbor Jacki, who just like immediately, like within an hour, was like he's ineligible. Well, he's not playing. So
Ugh.
yeah, sorry for your loss. We went off this year. Best of wishes to them. I don't know what's wrong. Well, Caden Gooley, I kind of figured that one. Arbor Jacki, I don't really know what his ailment is. Could be what he messed up last year, his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was. I think it's ridiculous that Caden Gooley is injured off
Again.
something that I was told was not a suspendable, not even a penalized play. That was like the greasiest fucking shit I have ever seen from Nikita Kucherov. I was pissed. I don't
It
know.
had to
Did you
be
see
against
that hit
Tampa
that put
too.
him
No, I
out?
didn't. I didn't.
It was
Like I said.
brutal. It was blatantly boarding, not called. Just be, and honestly, I'm gonna sound like a conspiracy theorist. It wasn't called because they don't want to ruin this fucking three-way Art Ross race.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. I wouldn't pass put it past the league doing something for Nikita Kucherov against the Canadiens.
Yeah,
To
shit
be
pissed me
honest, just like how everybody's like
off.
shitting on Vegas with their collusion, and it's just like everybody was just calling us a bunch of bitches when Tampa did it, so no remorse. But once again, Tampa gets over on fucking the Canadians. That's not really new. It's just like Toronto and the Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Mason, quick little topic, then we'll wrap her up. You gonna watch any of the Frozen Four starting Thursday? I believe the first game's 5:30
None of that's
Central.
televised for me, unfortunately. I'd have to.
Do you have ESPN? I'll give you my fucking account.
I'll definitely be tuned in. As much as it'll be tough because like I want Hudson to succeed, but fuck, I'd also kind of like him to lose. Just so we can see him in a Habs uniform here, right? Absolute larceny that he once again wasn't even a finalist for the Hobey Baker. I don't know how the NCAA justifies that. It's the committee's fucking ridiculous. Like it's crazy. Even Will Smith wasn't nominated in the top three
Yeah, it's disgusting.
after a 67-point season. Just utter fucking. Just so stupid. I mean, we all know it'll be Macklin Celebrini.
Yeah.
But I kind of really thought it should have been Hudson this year. Not even trying to be biased.
I think Hudson's gonna stay for another year. That's just
He's
me.
not, he's signing.
Is he really? Good for him.
Like he's supposed to be. I think if Hudson doesn't sign, we should be concerned.
Well,
Truthfully,
my
he's
only
got
thing,
nothing left to prove in college.
right, my only thing is we got to make some moves then.
Oh, absolutely. We got to make some moves, but we've known this, right?
Yeah,
I think it's why.
this is tough, man. I want to think about that.
Yeah, we've
Oh
got.
man.
We've known it for a while. I think I've spoken about it. We're gonna, if we don't draft a forward in this draft, well, even if we do, hopefully the Habs can continue to fall here. We're in fifth right now. Look, if we could win the lottery, I would never plan on it. If we win the lottery, we're sick, right? But if we get like Demidov falling, or we move up to third or even second, get a chance at Demidov, that would be huge for us. Regardless, even if we don't draft a forward, we get like the fifth overall pick. The best player available is fucking Zane Parikh. I want them to draft the best player available, right? You're still gonna have to move a defenseman. We've known this for a long time that this team was gonna have to get elite forward talent through our defensive prospects, through the cupboards there. We have a log jam already. Without Mayhew and Hudson, and they're going to be knocking on the
And
door next year.
that's who I was getting ready to talk about is like if we're here, there's got to be like a huge exodus for this to happen. Like we can no longer draft defensemen. Like we just can't.
Well, no, you should draft the best player available. You
Well,
just
no,
need to be willing to
yes, but
trade, which I hope the Habs are. And I was talking about this with my buddy today. Look, I hope the Habs draft a Demidov or a Berkeley Catton or a Cole Iserman. Even that Tijigin looked, holy fuck, is he ever going to be climbing the draft boards? And we
Yeah.
can get into that next episode. We can do a big
Absolutely.
debrief. I can sort of say, sorry, short,
You got
sort of share. There we go. My draft board I've been making for the Habs. But if we're not going to get a forward that is going to be huge, like a huge difference maker for us, then we're going to need to trade for someone. And I know it's been talked about a lot. I'm not a visionary for this, but I really, really could see the Habs making a deal for Trevor Zegras. I just think it makes too much sense. I really do think, especially if Anaheim is gonna end, if Anaheim wins like the lottery and gets Celebrini, which could happen, I
Yeah.
think that just further kind of insulates that
Yeah, but
Zegras.
should we really take on another small injury-prone
He's not
person?
small.
Should we take on another injury-prone person?
Look, I think that Trevor Zegras at this point in his career, I would say,
Also,
I'd
this
be hesitant
comment, I
to
haven't
call him
seen
injury
Trevor at
prone.
all this year, but I know he's been out for most of it.
I'd be very hesitant to call him injury prone. He came off a full season last year, almost a full season the year before that, where he had consecutive 60-point seasons on a terrible Ducks team. You're also gonna have to acknowledge that Trevor Zegras's value as a player has never been lower. And
Absolutely. This
I'm
is the
not
time of
saying
stealing,
you
kind of
give
like
up,
a
I'm not
Kirby
saying
Doc.
you give up a fifth overall pick for Trevor Zegras, because I don't think that's the cost right now.
No, I think
So I
you
do
could.
think it could be a match. I think regardless, Zegras will not be an Anaheim Duck next season. I just don't know how it works.
27 games this year, and that's tough.
And I'm not saying Zegras is the only target. But the Habs do need to acquire young offense. And when I say offensive, I mean guys that get
Yeah,
points.
not points. We need guys that put in the back of the fucking net.
I don't even care. Points are points. I
Points are
think,
points. Until we start passing it to each other like it's nobody's business.
look, a lot of the most successful teams in the NHL right now don't have 40 goal scorers. The Dallas Stars don't have a single 40 goal scorer on their team.
Yeah,
They
that's
have
a
guys
weird
that have
year.
done it in the past. What makes Dallas one of the best teams in the league this year is they have eight guys with 20 or more goals.
Yeah, it's the San Jose Sharks.
If the Habs are going to be that way, the Habs are going to be that way. But you need guys who create offense. And say whatever you want about Trevor Zegras, he creates offense.
That's true.
I think he'd be a great selection, or a guy like that who is just a dynamo offensively. We have our two-way guys. We're going to be built through the back end. You need some guys that can get the puck in the back of the net. So, however you look at it, if the Habs draft a forward, they're still going to need to get rid of some of their defensemen. If the Habs don't draft a forward, then they're really going to need to get rid of some of their defensemen. So I really do think that
I think we'd be silly not
Habs
to
will be
draft a
moving
forward.
on from one or two of their defensive prospects, because the worst thing you want to do is not get anything for them and just have them pile up and lose their value in a log jam, right? And I don't think Kent Hughes is the kind of guy that would waste, squander an opportunity or squander the value of his players like that.
Okay. No, absolutely. So next episode, let's cover damn. I don't just fucking ignore me. Jesus Christ. I pulled up the prompt and it immediately went away. All right. Mason, where you want to take it? Wanna call it a night? I think it's pretty solid.
That's okay.
Oh,
I
what's your we kind of breeze past it really quickly. What's your final four matchup looking like? You think it's the BCBU, or you think someone's gonna stun it?
couldn't fucking care less, to be
Couldn't
honest, at
care
all.
less. I would love to see Fowler versus Lane Hudson, though, just to be
I think it
honest.
would be cool. However, I gotta be honest, I would really like to see Lane Hudson in a Habs uniform this year. Like I said.
No, man. It's gonna be kind of tough, dude. They got a great team too, you know. But it is against Denver. So I guess we'll see. I guess we will see. All right, folks. Well, Mason, if you don't have any more remarks, I'll close this out.
I'm all good. We'll save it for next episode. We'll get back right before the season ends. So hopefully
Oh yeah.
Hudson will be in a Habs uniform by then.
Yep. And Cole Caulfield's at 59. Looked it up. 59 points. He just needs one more. All right, folks, thank y'all so much for listening. It's been Habs Nightly. Thank y'all for being patient with us. And we can't wait to talk to you guys again soon.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.